Today on Real Radio.
It's all dust. Are you trying to tell me that God will reassemble that? The answer to that is absolutely yes. It all matters on how big your God is.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We've been spending some time in chapter 15. Now, this is where Paul explains and defends the resurrection, some to eternal life, some to eternal damnation. In verses 35 through 39, he explains the kinds of bodies we'll have on that day. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called What Are You Wearing?
Because it's very important what Paul and how Paul is saying what he is saying. The message today is entitled, What Are You Wearing? Look around those of you who are near one another. Look around. What are you wearing? You're all dressed up for Sunday. I have to be careful in Southern California when I say that, dressed up for Sunday. Dressed up for Sunday means I'm going to the beach after church. So you're dressed. You got your flip-flops. You got your bathing suit on. I understand that. In my heart, I have that on too. But when we look around at what we wear, in most cases, you pick out something to wear. Now tomorrow is supposed to be my day off. Normally, I would roll out of bed, put on my bathing suit or board shorts, whatever, and an old crummy t-shirt, because that's what I wear on my day off. You say, Pastor, I can't see you in that. That doesn't matter. You're not supposed to see me on my day off, I guess, anyway, but that's what I like. It's comfortable. Are you with me? Okay. And it's for the day. It's for that. And so when you think about eternity, the Bible makes it very clear throughout Scripture that we are to be dressed for eternity. Just like you and I put clothes on, we are to have a certain garment on regarding eternity, the Bible tells us. For example, in the book of Revelation, over and over again, there are those Old Testament saints like David, like Jonah or Daniel. The Bible says they will be given white robes for eternity. They'll be wearing white robes. The Bible talks about the tribulation saints, those believers who are yet in the future, who during the seven-year horrific peril on earth, who will come to put their faith in Christ, the Bible says they will be granted white robes. And of course, the church, you, right now, for the last 2,000 years, you who believe in Christ, the Bible says you are given fine white linen, the book of Revelation says, which are the righteous acts of the saints. That's you. It's amazing. Eternity. And the question is, what are you wearing, or are you dressed for eternity? In 1 Corinthians 15, 35, Paul is going to take on the skeptics. Now watch this. This is fun. Imagine right now, we're going down for the home stretch. He's going to push now hard in the closing end of chapter 15. He's going to glide to a beautiful finish in chapter 16. But he right now today is winding up a pitch and he's delivering a fastball. Listen, it's not a curveball. It's not a slider. It's not a spitball. He's delivering a fastball right down the middle because he's not afraid of the truth. And that ball is flying over the home plate. And listen, he is intending everyone to take a swing at it. It's perfect pitch. You gotta hit it. And Paul is thinking like that regarding some skeptics in Corinth who do not believe in the resurrection. And Paul is going to use words that you would not want me to use in church, but today I'm going to use them. Paul uses them, and I'm going to use them, so I'm biblical. So, oh my goodness, what is that? What is that? Just hang on. It's so powerful. Follow along with me, if you would. Verse 35, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come or come forth? Verse 36, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives a body as he pleases, to each seed its own body. That's a law, by the way, of nature. It's awesome. Verse 39, All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men or mankind, another flesh of animals, another flesh of fish or of birds. There are also celestial bodies, be it angelic or the heavens above, and terrestrial bodies, those things of this world. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial, this world, is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown or buried in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. Go ahead and pinch yourself. That's what that word means. Your worldly body for this world. It is raised a spiritual body, not a ghost. The word means a body fit for eternity. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. You're going to want to hang around to wait and find out what that means. And the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Verse 46, however, the spirit is not first, but the natural. In other words, you're born into this world before you're born again. And afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, Adam is our dad, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. What an amazing thing. I could say amen and we could go home now. That is so plain, crystal clear, if apparently from this passage you're thinking. That's a huge assumption. Are you thinking? You say, Pastor, you're insulting me. Just wait. It hasn't even begun yet. I'm serious. Paul is saying this. You skeptics in Corinth, in the church, you are saying in a mocking tone and manner, that's what's implied in verse 35. You're asking two questions and you think you're so clever in asking these questions. You are saying, how are the dead raised up and what body do they come forth with? That question or those questions creates a response from Paul, which is awesome. Church, get ready. Dressing for eternity. What are you wearing? Number one, verses 35 to 38, is that we need to get rid of some old clothes. We need to get rid of some clothes, as it were, regarding our lives, regarding faith, and regarding our real existence. Getting rid of our old clothes. And I'm not talking about setting stuff in a pink bag out at the curb for someone to come pick up. We do that. And we don't even think about why we're doing that. But in the same token, I want you to think about what you take out to the curb and leave for someone to take away. God wants you as a human being to take something out to the curb, as it were, and leave it and live a brand new life. And there's a great reason for it. Number one, verses 35 to 36 is this. Getting rid of our old clothes and getting dressed for eternity means that we're going to be using our knowledge wisely. I want you to write that down. Use your head. Watch what he says. Someone's going to ask, how are the dead raised up? It's a sarcastic question. The way it's structured, it's sarcasm. Someone's going to say to Paul, either someone has said to Paul, they wrote him a letter, or this is what's rumored around the city of Corinth. Oh yeah, how are the dead raised up? How can this possibly be? We're Greeks, we know everything. We'll give you, Paul, resurrection of the spirit life, because the flesh is evil, the flesh is wicked, and it should die. Let it rot. We've seen what happens to a dead body, turns into dust, and the wind blows it away, and that's the end of it. How in the world can that live again? Now that actually, if you don't know what the Bible has to say, that is a fair question to ask. But if you're really honestly asking the question, friend, if you're in this building today and you're asking that question about what Christians believe and what the Bible teaches, you would say today, that's ridiculous. Everybody knows that either through cremation or the grave, what happens in 30 years or 30 minutes via cremation, it's all dust. Are you trying to tell me that God will reassemble that? The answer to that is absolutely yes. It all matters on how big your God is. On the scientific side, why should that rock your world? Because just because you extract all the moisture out of a human being's existence, you've got this molecular dust pile that doesn't change. It's there. And I want you to be thinking about that. Use your knowledge wisely. Verse 36, hang on to your seats. He says, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. That sounds like a ridiculous statement, but it's so true and everybody knows it. You say, are you crazy, Pastor? Nope. I know what I'm talking about. First of all, circle the word foolish. Are you ready? Mark it down. The Greek word is aphron. You walk up to somebody in Greece and you say, you aphron you, and you know what? You're probably going to get beat up. Why? Do you want to know what it means? The word means you stupid, empty-headed, egotistical, egocentric, unbelieving, unwise person. Couldn't you just see Paul? This little Hebrew guy coming up there comes up and he says, what is it you don't believe in? You don't believe in the resurrection? Aphron. Man, I'd love to see this. You empty-headed person. The word means you're not thinking. And he lays it out before a human audience. Use your head. We use the same word. Use your head. We say things like, what were you thinking? What's up there anyway? Excuse me. We say things so sweet and so nice. We say things like, the lights are on, but nobody's home. It's the exact same meaning. Wow. You don't know what you're talking about, Paul is saying. He is announcing that for biblical theology and for Christian theology, which is biblical theology, death is not the end. Death is a necessity in our lives that serves a purpose. Death. How can I say that? Because the Bible says that God has conquered death. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus in his death and resurrection has taken away the sting and the power of the grave. God's conquered death. We are so gripped by this temporal view of life and we fear death. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, as you guys all know, the Bible says to be absent from the body, that means you die. It's to be present with the Lord. What could be better than that? Paul says, I've got an issue in my life. You guys need me to stay and teach the Bible, he says to them, but I would rather and far better be out of here and with the Lord. Paul said, I'll stick around for your sakes that you might learn more Bible, but I want to go home. Think of that. How can he be so bold? Because he knows what he's talking about. How can he know what he's talking about? Because there's a scriptural biblical witness and there's a natural witness. And we've often said in this pulpit that the God of nature is the God of salvation, the God of the Bible. And that display of nature and the Bible will never contradict each other. The author's the same. But you got to use your knowledge wisely. And Paul brings forth an argument that is simply, and I mean that simply, brilliant. It is awesome. Because he's introducing to the thinking of those skeptics, death is a liberator to the Christian. Death. Listen, the Bible tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 24. Listen to this. And listen, before I read it, John 12, 24, Jesus, what occupation was Jesus? Carpenter. How did he know? This verse I'm going to read you, how did he know this? Say, well, he's God. I know. I'm just setting you up. But John 12, 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and it dies, it remains alone or all by itself. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Mark this down, would you? This is amazing. You see this? Look what I got right here. What is that? corn. By the way our crops are going in the Midwest right now, I'm going to hang on to this. Could get pretty rare here come this fall. Can you see the kernels right here? If I take one of these right here, I have no idea. Maybe some of you botanists, maybe you know. I don't know how many corn kernels are on an ear of corn, and I don't know how many ears of corn are on a stalk of corn. But I know where it came from. It came from one of these little guys right here. Inside here is locked information that is genius. Did you know that? And let me tell you a little bit about it. If you were to take this out and let it dry in the sun and leave it, you can leave it out. You can leave it out for 500 years. Isn't it weird? And take it and put it in the ground. When you put it in the ground, it dies. See what? When you put it in the ground, the chemicals from the earth cause it to die. At the moment of its death, it shoots out a microscopic little root, and it begins to grow. In its death, it's buried, it begins to grow every day. Do you know this? God is so amazing. In my hand right here, I have the power right here to feed the entire world forever. Mathematically, did you know that? There should be no starvation in the globe. One kernel of corn can produce an entire stalk, which produces ears of corn, and I don't know how many kernels are on each ear, and if you plant those, my friends, you cover the earth in corn, there should be no starvation. The only reason why there's starvation, by the way, if you look around the world, is because of political reasons. Go figure that one out. It's not the environment. God has done his part. Man's doing everything possible to mess it up. One kernel falls into the ground and dies and brings forth this. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Unless you die, you live or you exist by yourself. But the moment, think about this, the moment you're put into the ground, this happens. Now you say, you just went from corn to us. Well, I spiritualized it this way in the sense that when a believer dies and the gospel's preached at their funeral, I've seen non-believers get saved and fruit is produced from that dead person's life. Actually, their body's the only thing that's dead, isn't it? Think about that for a moment. I think that's very encouraging. But he's talking, Paul is saying, listen, you guys, you're a skeptic. Aren't you hoping for a harvest? Aren't you hoping this summer or fall for some corn? And everybody would say, even a godless person would say, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to a harvest. Every time you and I pluck an apple from the tree, a tomato from the plant, corn from the stalk, we should be thinking God is showing us over and over and over again the power of his resurrection. The power, he's put it in nature. He's screaming at us that when the caterpillar goes up the side of your house and spins the chrysalis and then flies away, the caterpillar was reconstituted. Can you imagine flying away? I don't know what they think. I don't know. I have no idea. Can you imagine? This is awesome. Oh my goodness. No more earthbound. This is great. The corn is corn. If I plucked off a kernel and said, what is this? You'd say corn. If I held this stalk up, you'd say corn. And if I showed you Kansas covered in this, you would say, it's corn. But it's different every time you look at it, isn't it? And that's exactly what Paul is arguing about the resurrected life. Your body will be raised from the dead. There'll be a vacancy where you once were. But you'll be reconstituted by the power of God. Resurrection, not reincarnation. Resurrection, not resuscitation. Resurrection. And we need to remember that. And it's an awesome thing to think. Next, verse 37 is applying what you and I already know. He says, what you sow, what you put in the ground, you do not sow that body that shall be. We just heard how that changes. But mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. In the book of Acts, Paul was in Athens, Greece at this time of Acts 26. And he says, why should you think it incredible that God should raise the dead? Isn't that a great statement? Isn't that a great question? How big's your God? Can your God raise the dead? And I love that challenge. He's so bold because the evidence is overwhelming. God, in a sense, in nature, announces, I raise the dead every day. Isn't that fun? I raise the dead every day. It's a great, great, beautiful picture that he gives us. Applying what you already know. Listen, I'm going to move on from this, but it's just a simple challenge. Look around. If you're a skeptic, look around and ask yourself, is there reproduction taking place in the world in which I live in? How does it come about? How is it happening? What's the science to it? And you'll be applying what you already know, but we so often fly over the things that are so simple, but in reality, they explain so much. And Paul is saying, some of you at Corinth, you think you're so smart and you've never even figured this out, that God raises the dead and it's easy for him. That resurrection is coming to all those. Some to eternal life. Yes, the Bible says some to eternal destruction, but resurrection is coming. The third thing is this, is recognizing the design of God. Look at verse 38, to recognize God's amazing engineering. It says in verse 38, but God gives a body as he pleases. Circle the word pleases. The word implies engineering or engineered. God gives a body as he's engineered to each seed its own body. And this is a scientific fact. Everything reproduces after its own kind. Y'all know that. We know that. If you plant grape seed in the ground, you are not going to get an oak tree.
You say, that's so dumb. I can't believe that.
The Bible says everything produces after its own kind. And that is a scientific fact. So, watch what he says. It pleases God to engineer as he sees fit. And he has seen fit to be ordered, reasonable, and logical. I want you to think of this, God's design, recognizing it. The Bible says in Genesis 1, 27 and 28, that God made us after his own image, says the Bible. Verse 28 says in Genesis 1, that God blessed them. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. The Bible, that word means use it to your joy. Use the earth to your joy. Should we take care of the planet? Yes. Should we worship it? No. According to the Bible, should we be fruitful and multiplying? Yes.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a look at a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul continues his defense of the eventual resurrection, now some to eternal life and some to eternal damnation, and also what kinds of bodies we'll have. The title of this lesson is, What Are You Wearing? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 1 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, here on Real Radio, we just started telling you about a new smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Same title as one of our weekly television programs. Well, have you downloaded it yet? Remember, it's absolutely free. There's a lot you can do from this one app. You can access Words to the Wise, Pastor Jack's commentary, Journey, that's one of our television programs. You can access our Wednesday night study, which airs live on hischannel.com, our Real Radio podcasts, and of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's another one of our weekly television programs that deals with topical issues. We always try to make things easy for our Real Radio listeners, and we're pretty excited about this one. We think you will be too. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone. Think of it as a one-stop shop for Real Radio listeners. Time doesn't allow me to tell you everything I'd like to tell you about it right now, so just download the app and you'll see all that it does. Did I say the app is free? Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new free app for your smartphone. Of course, to learn more, visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.